This is InvestTalk, independent thinking, shared success. Justin Klein and Steve Peasley stand ready to take your finance and investment questions and share their unbiased answers. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. The clarity for your path forward starts now. Here is KPP Chief Executive Officer, Financial Advisor, Justin Klein.
Good afternoon, fellow investors, and welcome back to InvestTalk. This is our Thursday, April 25th, 2024 edition of InvestTalk, and I am Justin Klein, and I'm here, as usual, like most weekdays, to help you become a better investor, help you unpack the trends that are happening within markets and economies so that you can make smarter decisions with your money, help you avoid the pitfalls and capitalize on the opportunities. And pitfalls usually come from emotions, allowing emotions to drive your decision making. And then the opportunities tend to come from studying the facts on the ground, filtering out those emotions that may drive something way higher than its true value or way lower, depending on the prevailing emotion that are driving investors during that time. And so it's a constant battle. It's a constant struggle against the headlines and the talking points that really get people going, gets people excited. But we're not here to get you all riled up like Kramer. I don't have a big red button to hit. I'm not bringing on guests that are going to get better ratings, because we're not here for that. We're here to further your education. And we do that by answering your questions and bringing actionable material and data points to you. Now, we're going to talk about the market performance for today, and it was certainly an interesting day in markets. We also have show topics that we'll run down as well, but as usual, we're going to talk to our first caller now.
Hi, Steve and Justin. I'm calling from Massachusetts. I love the show, and thank you for all you do. I'm wondering if you could look at the ticker symbol MOS. That's the Mosaic Company. I like the fertilizer field, and I think that's a nice safe area to be in right now. Give me your opinion on the stock, I'd appreciate it. Thank you very much. Bye.
All right, looking at Mosaic, and they manufacture phosphate fertilizers worldwide. Fairly big company, about a $10 billion market cap, but the trend is lower. Relative strength, only 17. They made $11.05 in 2022, but only $3.57 last year, down 68%. Earnings are expected to fall again another 15% this year. And then supposed to bounce back up a little bit to 321 next year. And, you know, you say it's about a 10 P multiple, but remember, it's a commodity producer. Pretty much. That's what fertilizers are. Farmers don't really care where they get the fertilizers as long as it helps their crops grow. And that's my issue here, is that I don't want to pay a high multiple. And if I'm going to buy a company that is shrinking earnings, I want probably a mid-single digit multiple, not a, you know, around a 10% multiple. And I want the relative strength to be good, not poor. And in the fertilizer space, we like the nitrogen fertilizer producers over the phosphate ones. So it's not a bad company. I just don't like the type of fertilizers that it produces. I don't like that relative strength and the fact that earnings just continue to deteriorate. So I like the space that you're looking at, just not this particular name. Thanks for the call. Now, we have a lot of ground to cover over the next 45 minutes, and our main focus point is in regards to the difference between CPI and the PCE indices. CPI gets all the headlines, but tomorrow we have the PCE index, and the Fed follows that one most of all. So we're going to talk about the differences and which ones you should pay attention, which one you should pay attention to. Okay. We also have some other topics on the docket as well. One is in regards to commodity prices, and there was a report today coming out of the World Bank and their expectations for how commodity prices will influence inflation going forward. Also, deal making, M&A, starting to pick up a little bit. We're going to talk about why that is. And lastly, if you have time, boomers and the housing market. How are they dealing with this housing market? Are they buying more, selling more? You know, because they own most of the houses. They own the most amount of houses of any generation. And the big question is, are they going to be moving? Are they going to be downsizing? And how might that impact the market? So we're going to look at that data as well. We also have some voice bank questions. One is on growth investing and the other is on Broadcom. And of course, we have Invest Talk YouTube channel questions as well. And most importantly, your calls. Of course, we welcome them. Any finance and investment question is welcome at 888-99-CHART. Doesn't just have to be about a particular stock or mutual fund or ETF. Could be about a broader asset class or a personal finance question. Whatever is on your mind, we are ready for it. So we're going to a short break. And on the other side, I will talk about today's market activity. But please remember, you can call anytime and leave your question on the Invest Talk Voice Bank at 888-99-CHART.
InvestTalk callers make each podcast unique.
I was calling about Intel, if it's worth holding on to, or should I sell it?
Their questions are curious.
I have saved up around $80,000, and I was wondering what I should do to make it grow.
Careful.
Oh, I'm just wondering, is this a value trap? Because it looks like it's gone down quite a bit.
Concerned.
It's taken quite the tumble today. I've been trying to get out of this position for a while. I think I waited too long.
And clever.
Looking at Dominion Energy, Inc. Does seem to be situated in some areas of expanding population.
And Justin Klein and now Luke Guerrero are always ready with their unbiased answers.
And this is, it looks like a classic example of chasing yield. Don't chase the yield.
Next 12 months price to earnings is around 30. I just don't see it at this price.
Don't forget to call InvestTalk 888-99-CHART. Let's take a quick look at your financial to-do list. At the top, make that phone call to the InvestTalk Anytime listener line, 888-99-CHART.
Now let's take a look at the market today. We had those earnings out of Meta yesterday, and while the last quarter's earnings were pretty good, their guidance was relatively soft, and that pushed Meta down about 12% on the day, and that pushed the overall indices down. Broad U.S. stocks were down roughly about 0.5%. Small caps did a bit worse than that, down about 0.2%. Mid caps were the strongest. They were only down slightly, about 7 basis points there. So not a big deal overall, kind of a neutral to down day. We rallied throughout most of the day, so you definitely saw some buy on dips here. And after hours, you had Google report earnings. They're up about 10% as well. So Tesla, we had that pop 10%, Meta dropped 10%, and now Google so far up 10%. So certainly a mixed bag when it comes to earnings and those big tech names. However, you definitely are getting relatively strong earnings numbers. If you take what has been reported along with the expectations for the earnings for what has not been reported so far, you have about a 3% earnings growth, which is not amazing, but certainly not an earnings recession or anything like that. You still continue to have nominal earnings growth, and that certainly is a positive. I believe you had another, was it Snap After Hours, Snapchat After Hours? That did get a nice pop from about 11:50. We're approaching nearly 14:50, so that's set to have a good day tomorrow. Intel, that one looks to be down a bit on earnings, so you're definitely getting a mixed bag. Gold remains relatively buoyant, up a little bit today. The miners did very, very well. Newmont was up 13-14% or so on earnings. So clearly, you're getting some strength in the hard asset space. And what's curious here is that the dollar just continues to generally trend higher, although the last few days it has come back down a little bit. And the big question will be about the yen. You know, the Japanese economy continues to suffer with inflation, and they're having a hard time getting off of zero bound. And there could be a coming crisis in Japan. They're the ones that have been over indebted for a long period of time. And now this new higher rate environment is really killing them because they don't have a lot of good options. They either raise rates and their debt situation spirals even more out of control, or they keep rates at zero where they are now and their currency continues to spiral downward and create too much inflation. So it'll be very interesting to see how that is resolved. But honestly, that's what I'm following most of all. We do have the PC number tomorrow, which we'll get into in a little bit. And then I believe next week is the quarterly refunding announcement from the Treasury. And are they going to be issuing longer dated treasuries, shorter dated treasuries, and how will that affect liquidity? That's something I will be watching for next week. Now, I hope you have been listening and telling your friends about our Invest Talk audio podcast that is also available in video form over on our YouTube channel. And via that channel, we receive finance and investment questions in the comments section. And here's one that came in recently. Capital Gains, capital spelled with a K, I like that. Capital Gains 95 says, what do you think of PWR for investing in the need for infrastructure solutions for electric and gas utilities? It has pulled back the rest of the market, and it looks to be at a potential buy point. This is definitely in a nice uptrend here. $255 per share is where it's currently trading at. Earnings this year are expected to be up 11% to nearly $8 per share, and then another 13% next year to nearly $9 per share on a $255 stock. So forward-looking multiple is definitely in the high 20s. That is a hefty premium. I think the main question, though, is it worth it? Is it worth that high multiple? Because you have to have a very strong business, a strong balance sheet, pretty much strong everything to pay nearly a 30 times multiple. And let me take a look here. This is Quanta Services. They have very little debt, so about $2 billion in net debt on their balance sheet. Not a lot for a $37 billion market cap, so balance sheet is certainly fine. They pay a very small dividend, certainly can grow from here. You're not going to get a big dividend yield, only 0.14% going forward. About $1.1 billion in free cash flow. That puts the current free cash flow yield somewhere in the 3% range, which is okay, but not amazing. And let's see what they're doing with all of that cash flow. Are they buying back shares? Not really. It's been flat. Number of shares outstanding have been flat over the past 5 years or so. So what are they doing with it? Are they paying down the debt? That's what it seems like. No, that's been going higher as well. Interesting. Return on equity is about 13%, which is good, but not amazing. So that's what kind of gives me a little trepidation, is that the business is good, but not amazing. The growth is solid. It's in an uptrend. And that uptrend is intact, but I don't love it from a long-term perspective when it comes to its profitability and its valuation. I like the business that it's in. I like the growth. But I wouldn't get in big, let's just say, at these levels. Just not cheap enough, and the business is not as strong as those headline numbers make it look. Now, this is Invest Talk, now with more than 58 million downloads, and I'm going to head into a short break, but I encourage you to give me a call. If you have any finance investment question at all, don't hesitate to pick up the phone and dial 888-99-CHART.
Justin Klein is here and ready to tackle your questions.
Curious if you think it'd be better for me to let it go and spend money elsewhere.
Well, first off, never take one man's opinion as gospel, including my own.
InvestTalk is ready 24/7.
When you give a recommendation on your show for a buy-in, like an entry point to buy a stock, if I already own it, should I go ahead and be looking to sell it?
Don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Every investor is working to build a secure financial future. How they get there and when they get there, that depends on many variables. The more you learn about how the market works, the better your chances. So don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Now, our main focus point today is in regards to the CPI and PCE indices. And inflation is the name of the game in today's markets. So many people are focused on it, and more than ever, people are paying attention to these gauges. And the CPI gets all the headlines, but the PCE index has a lot more fans in the government. Okay. But when people think about inflation, they think CPI. What's a CPI? Consumer Price Index. But both of these indices can paint similar but different pictures of the inflation pressures that are happening in the economy. Now, what are they? First, the CPI is compiled by the Department of Labor. And in March, it was at 3.5%, February, 3.2%. And the PCE index is part of the monthly personal income and outlays report from the Bureau of Economic Analysis. And that usually comes out 2 weeks, 2 weeks after the CPI report. And in February, the PCE measure came in at 2.5%. The March number comes out tomorrow. Now, what are the differences? Well, each index attempts to put a number on consumer prices by tracking changes in a specific basket of goods and services each month. But there are differences in the formulas, components, and the weightings of each index. And that's why they can differ. Over long periods of time, the CPI usually runs about 0.4 percentage points above the PCE. But that can vary. Such as in the summer of 2022, the CPI came in 2 full percentage points, almost 2 full percentage points above the PCE. 9% for the CPI, 7.1% for the PCE. Now, why is that? The main culprit is actually housing. Housing is weighted double in the CPI over the PCE. So that's number one. If you have a lot of shelter inflation, CPI is going to skew a lot higher. In February, 90 of the 100 basis point difference between the two was attributed to that double weighting of housing. And housing is always lagging. Now, healthcare is weighted heavily in the PCE index. So if you get healthcare inflation, that's going to come through there. And then there's the weightings and how often they change. The PCE weighting formula is updated monthly based on consumer habits. The CPI, they change their weightings yearly. Now the PCE, it looks at purchases made by urban consumers as well as rural consumers. consumers, where the CPI is only tracking urban. The CPI only includes out-of-pocket spending made by consumers, but the PC includes things that are made on the behalf of consumers, such as the healthcare costs that an employer pays on behalf of the employee. Same with Medicare and Medicaid expenses. That those expenses do not come out of the consumer's pocket, so it does not. It is not included in the CPI, but it is included in the PCE. And so you can see why the Fed would prefer the PCE over the CPI. It's broader. It's rural as well as urban consumers. Its weightings are updated more frequently to adjust for changing consumer habits and preferences. Good example is during COVID. People rapidly shifted their consumption of goods over services, and the PCE picked that up, whereas the CPI, it lagged on changing its weightings. And so this is the main reason why PCE matters more. Now, CPI does give a better sense of, I think, how the average person feels about inflation, because it's only looking at the amount of money that is coming out of your pocket, the consumer's pocket, for goods and services. If prices across the board in your life were flat over a six-month period, yet your employer had to pay 10% more for your health insurance, for example, wouldn't matter to you, right? You wouldn't feel it. It's your employer that feels it. And so in the CPI basket, you would have no inflation. But in the PCE number, you would have at least some inflation there because there is some weighting. And so those are the differences and why so many average people focus on the CPI. But the PCE is going to be better, a better measure, to help you understand the inflation picture within the economy, and ultimately that is why the Fed looks at PCE over the CPI. Well, we put together a fresh compilation show for you tomorrow. It's a best of caller question podcast. I will be going to my family's Passover, so I'll be at that, but hopefully you enjoy our best of caller question tomorrow. But we are here ready to answer your questions at 888-99-CHART.
Let's say you've been thinking about learning a new language. Okay, why? I mean, how would it come in handy? And where would you want to use it? Could it be that you have an upcoming international trip? Or maybe you want to connect with family members or friends from a different culture? I think you should know about Rosetta Stone. With millions of users, it's been the world's most trusted language learning program for 30 years. Rosetta Stone is available on your desktop or as an app with audio companion and the ability to download lessons offline. Rosetta Stone truly immerses you in the language you want to learn. It has a built-in, patented speech recognition engine called True Accent. So as you practice speaking, you'll get feedback on how well you pronounce words. With Rosetta Stone, you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. It's an intuitive process designed for long-term retention. You really learn to speak, listen, and think in your new language. Rosetta Stone is an amazing value, so your special skill set is within easy reach. You know you want to do this, so don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, InvestTalk listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off now at rosettastone.com/today.
In today's market, more than ever, you need unbiased investing guidance because it can help you achieve financial freedom. Well, you've come to the right place, Invest Talk. And Justin Klein is here now taking your calls live. So step up with your questions, 888-99-CHART.
Let's go talk to John. He is in St. Louis looking at SPGP. Do you own it or looking to buy it?
I own a little bit of it.
Okay. And this is the Invesco S&P 500 GARP ETF. I'm assuming GARP stands for growth at a reasonable price. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And so I'm assuming that's what you are going after. You want to invest in the S&P, but you don't want to be overweight those mega cap names that are overvalued. You want to focus more on the, let's say, cheaper companies with lower P/E ratios and reasonable growth. Does that sound about right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, on the surface, that sounds good. And if I look at the sector breakdown, it also looks pretty good. Now, technology is still in the 20% range, 21.3% of this portfolio versus closer to 28% of the overall S&P is in tech. I would like that to be a little bit lower, but you know, that's an improvement. Now, energy goes from 4% of the S&P to 28% in this fund. So I like that. And it just shows you the cheaper companies are certainly in the energy space. Now, industrials, what's interesting here, it actually goes down from 10 to about 9.5%. So it goes down slightly and it's waiting. Basic materials goes up from 3 all the way to 12.5%. So I like that. Let's see, what else? Any big moves? No utilities here. Utilities don't usually trade at cheap prices. They're more bond proxies than value plays. I don't have a big issue with that. Healthcare goes from 13 down to 8, so I like that. That's where you're really picking up the weighting from healthcare being dropped from 13 to 8, consumer defensive from 6 to 3. And so this is certainly an improvement over the S&P. Now, is it perfect? No, it isn't. But I much rather own this than the SPY or just the broad S&P index.
Great.
Thanks for the call. That was SPGP. Growth at a reasonable price, a strategy that, you know, we tend to, a type of strategy we tend to employ for our clients. So naturally, we would like that. All right, let's talk a little bit about inflation and most importantly, commodities. And this is coming from the World Bank. It's a report that was released today. And what they basically said is that you're starting to get inflationary tailwinds from the commodity space. And they highlight the fact that global commodity prices were down 40% between mid-2022 and mid-2023. Oil, gas, wheat, many commodities fell sharply. But that is starting to reverse. And that drop in commodity prices over that one-year period helped drive down global inflation by 2 percentage points. But over last year, because now we're almost in the middle of 2024, over last year, that has plateaued. And many commodities have started to trend higher, from copper to oil to uranium. And what the World Bank is saying is that a major energy shock could undermine much of the progress in reducing inflation over the past 2 years. And they forecast that commodity prices will fall as little as 3% in 2024, basically saying that's the floor. That's the best case. Falls 3% this year and 4% next year. But there's certainly a risk to the upside. They talk about demand in China has been more robust than expected with their stimulus packages. And that the demand for things like copper due to manufacturing of electric cars, upgrading the electric grid, that's going to push copper prices higher. And then the tension in the Middle East. And they expect Brent crude to average $84 a barrel this year, slightly higher than last year's. But right now, Brent is at 88. And once again, trending higher. You look at the BNO, it's a good ETF to follow, Brent crude, it's in an uptrend. And they forecast that if conflict continues to intensify, oil could blast through $100 per barrel. And it's pretty clear that OPEC is fine with that. I think oil would have to get to 110, 120 for them to pick up their pace and start producing again. And once again, that would put sharp upward pressure on inflation and the Fed, central banks, to continue to not just not cut rates, but actually raise rates again. And so this is all happening in the backdrop of a relatively strong dollar environment. Dollar's been marching higher throughout the year. Yet oil, energy companies, they continue to be one of the strongest places to allocate capital to so far this year. And so it's pretty clear to me that, and the World Bank, that this inflation picture, it's not over. The commodity trends that started to emerge in 2021 and 2022, they just took a pause last year. And that happens. Not every year that you can have amazing performance out of one particular slice of the market. And those trends that we saw are reemerging, and you want to benefit from them, not be the ones that are left behind. Now, here's another question from our Invest Talk YouTube channel. Carter Erickson says, what are your thoughts on P.H. Parker Hannifin? And this is a name, another name similar to Quanta, doing very, very well. Earnings this year are up, let me pull up the right one. Earnings this year are supposed to be up 13%, 8% next year to $26.39 per share. It's a $549 stock. So about a 19, 20 times forward-looking earnings. So a market multiple. That's good. I'll pay market multiple for above average growth. That's what you're getting here. Now, what does Parker Hannifin do? Well, they're an industrial conglomerate. And their booming business has to do with the, I forgot to explain it. The heat that is created in electric cars can cause batteries to get too hot and explode. And so Parker Hannifin makes the materials, the systems that disperse that heat to make it so the electric cars don't blow up, right? Now, that's part of their business. It's not the only part of their business. They have other parts of their business doing well, but it's a very good, solid company, $70 billion market cap with debt, about $11 billion, nothing crazy, fine, considering the size of the business. Nearly $3 billion in free cash flow. I like that. It's about a 4% free cash flow yield. So even better than Quanta. And return equity at 25%, return on invested capital around 12%, dividend yield around 1%. Relative strength is very strong, 92, certainly in a strong uptrend. Let's see what are they doing with all that cash flow. Are they buying back shares? Yeah, in fact, they are. Back in 2014, they had 148 million shares outstanding, now about 128 million shares outstanding. I like that. I like the diversity of their business. I'm going to give Parker Hannifin a thumbs up. Now, it's not super cheap, but it's reasonably priced. And so that's why I'm giving it a thumbs up. Now, 2024 is moving fast, and we are into the second quarter and almost through April. And I've been telling you for a while now, we're in a new market environment. Inflation is sticky. It's here to stay. Harder assets are the name of the game. Minerals in the ground are now more important than bits in the sky. I know the bits in the sky are sexy and interesting, but serious investors have to adjust for this new market environment. Gold's at an all-time high. Are people paying attention to that? They aren't. It's actually a good thing. It means that not a lot of people have gotten into it yet. There's a lot more room to run. So are you still chasing the sexy story? Are you still buying into Kathy Wood's cute, fun innovation story? Or are you focused on the realities on the ground, which is that there are shortages in the industrial space, the commodity space, the basic material space, the energy space? Well, if you need help and you need a second opinion on your overall portfolio, I encourage you to reach out to our company, KPP Financial, where we operate the same philosophy, which is independent thinking and shared success. And we practice parallel investing, which means we invest right alongside our clients. So I encourage you to take advantage of our free portfolio review assessment via telephone or go to meetings. And it's very easy to do that by heading over to our website, investtalk.com, and clicking on the portfolio review button in the top right-hand part of the screen. Now let's keep things moving and pivot back to the Invest Talk Voice Bank. You know the number, it's 888-99-CHART.
My question is about Broadcom, ticker symbol AVGO. I entered into this company about $400. That's my average cost, is about $400. And it's made a good rise since then. I was just wondering should I be looking for an exit? Should I be holding here? I'd be very surprised if you told me I should buy more, but just tell me what you think. Thank you.
Why would you be surprised? You've done very well. It's at $1,300 per share. You're killing it. The company is killing it. Its return on equity is 36%. Its return on invested capital is 15%. It has $46 billion in debt on a $600 billion market cap. Good balance sheet. Now, its enterprise value to EBITDA is 32. It's a bit higher than I would like. Its free cash flow yield is around 3%. Not amazing, but not horrendous. I see many trading at 1% free cash flow. They have issued some shares up here. That worries me a bit. Earnings this year is supposed to drop 14%, and that's what worries me the most, is that earnings expectations for this year and next year are coming down. But it's a great business. And I wouldn't be quick to sell it all because of the quality of that business. You're probably right. I wouldn't buy more right here. But what I would probably do is, you're up a lot. It's probably grown as a percentage of your portfolio. This is a time where you trim. That's an underrated action that very few people take. Most people think, let's buy a bunch or sell it all. All or nothing. In or out. Too many people think binary. And it's not a binary decision. A rebalance is something that brings your allocation back to a more reasonable number. Maybe you start at 2% of the portfolio. You're up 300% plus, it looks like. Maybe it 2 has turned into 6 or 5. Maybe bringing that back down to 3% of your portfolio. There's nothing wrong with that. So you're starting from a good place, which is you invested in a good company. And for everyone else out there, Broadcom, they make analog integrated circuits across tons of different sectors, industrial, automotive, computing, etc. It's not a sexy, exciting name. But this caller's up has tripled his money. Why? Because it's a good business. Good margins, good cash flow. It's not selling the dream. That's going to solve the world's problems with AI. No, it's just a good business. And so for this caller, the lesson here is trim a little. For everyone else out there, the lesson is you don't need a sexy name to make big returns. You just need to invest in good businesses that are well run, well diversified, good balance sheets. And that's what this caller did. So everyone needs to look for more companies like Broadcom, but you're correct. You want to do it at a reasonable price. And I do think it's a bit overvalued at these levels. And the technicals are starting to weaken since the beginning of March. So trim, but don't sell all of it. Now, this is Invest Talk. I'm Justin Klein. We have one goal here each and every weekday, and that's to help you achieve your own version of financial freedom. And our work continues after this final break. So if you're going to call, you want to do that right now at 888-99-CHART.
Justin Klein is here and ready to tackle your questions.
I've heard you say multiple times that you prefer shorter duration treasury bonds. Can you explain to me why it is more advisable?
Call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Investors, the goal of achieving financial freedom requires unbiased information, strategic planning, and determination. Congratulations! You've found the podcast that is dedicated to helping you succeed. Invest Talk.
Hello, Steve, Justin, Luke. This is Paolo from Gaithersburg calling. I have a question today about basically it is how can a value investor own a growth company or a growth stock, and how do you break the mental barrier of buying or keeping a stock that has gone up significantly? Back in the day, like I bought Broadcom at around 480, and when the AI hype started, I got up to 680, and I sold out of it because I thought it was completely overvalued, and it was like all hype, and I think I heard similar things on the show, like that it was a little bit overvalued back then. Basically, I lost significant potential gains. I still had some gains. Maybe I should have just trimmed down. How can a value investor own a growth company and keep onto it without getting out completely? Love to hear the answer on the show. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, I've never had that happen. One caller I give advice to on one stock, and the next caller basically confirms. I don't pre-screen these. I don't know what these callers are going to say. Basically confirms what I said, right? He bought Broadcom at 400, pretty similar to the last caller, sold it too soon at 600, and now it's at 1200. And what he should have done instead is what I said to the last caller, which is trim. You don't sell all of it. You trim it. Rebalance it. It's not an all or nothing proposition. Everything is a risk versus reward. So if you buy a good company and it goes up, that's a good thing. You're up. You made money. Now what do? Well, maybe it's trading on a higher multiple, but maybe it deserves that multiple. Remember, good companies deserve a higher multiple. You're going to pay a premium for good businesses. Frankly, you want to pay a bit of a premium, because that's confirmation that, hey, that is a good business. But it does not mean it is overvalued. Just because it's trading at a higher PE than the overall market does not mean that company is expensive. So get out of your mind that you have to buy single-digit PE ratios for it to be a good value. No. Value investing is about buying quality businesses at reasonable prices. Reasonable prices. And guess what? Higher than an average market multiple can still be reasonable. You're not going to get great businesses at bargain basement prices very often. It's very rare. You get those opportunities once in a decade, maybe. So my point here is that you need to focus on quality companies first and then pay reasonable prices for them. And when those multiples get a little bit too egregious, think, okay, now, yeah, it's a premium, but it's trading at 40 or 50 times forward-looking earnings. That's too much, okay? Maybe you bring that allocation from 3, 4, 5% of your portfolio to back down to 1% of your portfolio. Nothing wrong with that, okay? So don't have your analysis of these companies so simplified that you think that, oh, it can't be worth this much. It's up, so it can't be worth this much. It's too expensive. No. Good businesses allocate capital well, and their businesses produce cash flow and earnings for you, the shareholder. And guess what? Over time, that stock should go up. So just because it went up isn't a reason to sell. In fact, more often than not, it's a confirmation that you are in a good quality company. I'm Justin Klein. This is another Invest Talk program. We thank you for listening, and we encourage you to tell your friends and family about our free podcast downloads, which you can find anytime at iTunes, Spotify, Google Play. And be sure to rate and review on iTunes as well. And remember to tell your friends about the Invest Talk podcast that is available now in video form over on our YouTube channel. To search Invest Talk with two T's. Independent thinking, shared success. This is Invest Talk. Good night.
Invest Talk is a trademark of KPP Financial. Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor firm which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Steve Peasley is president, and Justin Klein is chief executive officer of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial. Thank you for listening, and your comments and questions are welcome on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.